You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
You know what I'm craving? A little perspective.
That's it? I'd like some fresh, clear, well-seasoned perspective. Can you suggest a good wine to go with that?
With, what, sir?
Perspective. Fresh out, I take it.
I am,
Very well. Since you're all out of perspective and no one else seems to have it in this bloody town, I'll make you a deal. You provide the food, I'll provide the perspective. Which would go nicely with the bottle.
Welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We have a great show for you tonight. You know, tonight we're going to be discussing and exploring sharing negative content, sharing the bad story, how it's kind of like sharing bad milk. I think a lot of us understand this. When you have somebody, a friend, a family member that comes up to you and starts sharing a very negative story that has nothing to do with them, but it's about something they've read about, something they saw in the news, a Facebook comment, or some sort of story that literally almost makes you feel like dread. You feel dread. You feel dreadful. You feel overwhelmed with negativity. And for some of us that are very, we have a lot of empathy, you know what happens? We basically internalize that story all day long. And what do? We either keep it in or we find someone else to regurgitate it to, because it's hard with that negativity. What's going on, Bill? How are you doing tonight?
I am doing really well, Ashley. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great.
Good.
It's a great night. It's a beautiful, beautiful Sunday night.
And I'm just going to give off positive energy so that you can internalize that and feel happy. That's right.
Yes, this is good. Keenan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well tonight. I'm doing well. I'm just, I'm chilling. Yes, I'm chilling like an ice cube. Just giving, yeah, you know, as the ice cube just kind of sits out in the sun and then evaporates, and then all that evaporation goes out into the air and forms clouds and it rains again, you know, the whole cycle of water thing, which, you know, gives more positivity to the earth.
Keenan's getting all scientific
water.
On us tonight.
Well, sorry.
You know, he's all meteorological.
I watch a lot of science shows.
I love science.
I rock out the science a lot.
Science is good.
Yes, I think I like you're, science. It's positive.
Like your man, Neil.
Yes, like my man, Neil. Me and Neil, you know. Fist bumping Neil.
That's right.
Yeah, he was out with Neil last night, but that's a long story.
Ooh,
they were talking about planetary stuff, having some beers.
Oh, yeah. You know, we were talking about Jupiter, 43 million miles away, big ball of gas, helium, and hydrogen. You know,
I know some people that are just a big ball of gas, too.
Yeah. Like me.
Gassy. No, we were talking about that on break that earlier today. That's funny. Okay, that's cool. So let's talk about this. What do you mean? You know, like when you were a kid and you look at your parents, or, you know, you look at your brother or sister and you say, hey, does this milk taste good, or does this milk smell good? And, you know, I've had that before where people ask me that, and why I do it, I don't know. Like, maybe it's too early in the morning and I smell it or I taste it. I'm like, oh my God. I mean, what is this? Why did I just do this?
It's like, if you could just, the listeners out there, if you could see the look on all of our faces right now, is there anything worse than bad milk?
Bad milk with toothpaste taste.
Ugh.
Bad milk because with toothpaste taste being lactose intolerant.
With orange juice.
Ugh.
Oh.
Ugh.
Oh.
I just created a bad deal right there.
Excuse me. I got to go to the bathroom here.
Zing.
I got to go here. No, I mean, and that comment's particularly pertinent because just the other day I went to get a half gallon of milk and it was already spoiled.
Oh.
I hate that. Oh. When I just buy it from the grocery store.
That is awful. And okay, so let me ask you a question.
I wasted my money, you know?
Let me ask you a question. You didn't bring it back, though, did you?
No, because I already opened it.
And you didn't want to have to drive it in your car all the way back to the store, right?
Right.
See, I don't ever bring back stuff that's spoiled either, but I do get a little angry when it happens like every other trip. And you're thinking, well, that's $4 right there. That's $3. But I mean, I just don't want to travel with it. I really don't want my car smelling like it either, because I know that inevitably I'm going to get stuck somewhere.
I'll pour it down. Not only will I pour it down the sink, I'll actually wash the carton out.
You know, I do too, because I recycle.
Because I, well, that too, and I don't want it to stink up my trash.
Oh, I just don't buy milk.
Well, because you're lactose intolerant.
But. Well, I don't know if I'm lactose intolerant or not. I'm just not into milk like that. The only time I use milk is when I'm putting it in a coffee. That's it. That's the only time.
I don't have that option. I am a dairy lover.
I drink coconut milk, and I use that in my coffee.
Cottage cheese, you know, whatever dairy product you want to talk about. I'm like, you know, if I could, I have my own Elsie out in the backyard.
You know what? I know what to do when I do get, like, you know, rich and famous. I'm going to buy you a bunch of cows.
Milk cows.
And, like, what is the ice cream company?
Morton.
Bluebell ice cream with the Bluebell. Yeah, yeah. And he'll have like a big pasture. Can you see Bill with a pasture? Just walk him through.
Yeah.
He could be on a commercial.
Near, you know, yep. Farmer Barnett.
Yep. Dodging cow patties.
Uh-huh.
You and your girlfriend, now wife, and then she's got like the big, what is it, like the big...
The pitchfork?
Pitchfork. Yeah. Okay, Ma. Okay, Paul.
Well, she lives, you know this, she lives with their parents in a rural area. She has like 3 horses. You know, and they live in like a 5-acre.
Do they have cows?
They don't have cows. They do have 3 horses.
They need to get some cows.
My uncle has cows. He has cows down in Centerville, Texas. Granted, I've never seen him milk a cow ever.
We need to go see that. We need to take us on location and go see the milking of the cows.
No, I don't think he milks them. I've never because
he has them, but he doesn't do anything.
Are they male cows?
No, they're just cows.
Ashley, you don't milk male cows.
That's what I said. Maybe that's why he's not milking them.
No, well.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, they're bulls.
He actually what he does is he uses them for he sells fertilizer.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's why he has cows.
Oh, you mean like they poop and then okay, that's fine. That's good.
Yeah, that's like I'm like, do you ever milk the cows? He's like, no. I'm like, why do you have these cows? Fertilizer.
Perfect. I like this. He's a very environmental guy.
Well, tell him he can, you know, make double the money off of him, though.
Yeah.
You know, sell the milk and fertilizer.
We'll have Bill go out there with these overalls on, a dicky overalls, and he'll go out there and he'll do his thing. And the straw. Are you going to do a straw hat? Yeah. I would do like a cowboy hat.
Well, no, I remember.
No, not a farmer. Farmer doesn't use a cowboy hat. Farmers use straw hats.
I think a farmer could have a cowboy hat.
Yeah, but cowboy hats are hot during the summer. Yeah,
but a straw hat's not. You can have one of those straw like cowboy hats, those ones that are really thin.
Well, yeah, you can have one of those. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
all right. That's what they
wear.
Yeah.
But okay, we'll compromise.
I'm not talking like a suede. I'm not talking like a wool, you know, like Stetson, you know, nothing like that. That would be awful. Whoa. Like John Wayne looking, not like that.
All of you out there listening who are country music fans, you know, just, you know, pray for me, okay? They don't make cowboy hats out of wool. It's out of felt.
Okay.
I said felt.
I know you said felt, but she didn't.
Okay, yeah, felt.
Felt, wool, felt. Yeah.
That's like ghetto, you know, wool cowboy hats. What the heck?
You know, okay, well, then they make pool tables out of wool,
That's like Urban Cowboy, John Travolta or something, you know?
Oh.
Rhinestone Cowboy. Yeah. Okay, so let's go through this. Let's talk about this. So, yeah, we've talked a lot about the milk, but let's talk about how, like, sometimes people share stories that are, like, drinking or smelling, you know, bad milk. And I think the first thing is that, you know, they like to regurgitate this story that they've come into contact with. I hate to use the word regurgitate. They like to regurgitate the story that they've come into contact with that somebody else told them, or they read it from somewhere else, and they got to tell you about it because, you know, they're passing the buck. You know, it's like handing off the flu virus, you know? Yeah. Oh, and you're the touchy-feely, and then later on, oh, by the way, I have the flu real bad, you know?
They say that misery loves company. I think it's true. I mean, I really do think that negative people want to spread the negativity. They want other people to feel like they do.
Well, the thing is, though, we are attracted to drama. Think about everything that we watch on television. It's all created around drama. Like for even this reality television, which is okay.
Even the reality, reality,
quote unquote.
Yeah,
reality.
Yeah, they had a quote unquote reality because what a lot of people don't know is that reality television. Guess what? It's not real people.
No,
it is really not real because in real life,
it's scripted.
You don't have a camera crew with a producer following you around, and you know there's not a psychologist involved stating that hey, these two personalities will not get along, so let's put them together in the house.
Well, also the biggest deal is that when you let's say for example we send Keenan out and we put him on TV. He's on Perspectives TV, okay? And so we put him in a situation at some bar or someplace, and we have the camera crew and the producers. Everybody that comes into contact with Keenan and whoever we put him with, you don't think they're going to act differently? I mean, there's a camera. There's a crew.
Yeah, it's the Hoskins effect. I think that's the name of it. Yeah.
Just being observed will change your behavior.
It's going to change your behavior. And the thing is, though, thinking about the shows that get the most ratings. all the ones where there's all this drama. Like, for example, what, the Real Housewives of Atlanta, when you...
Whatever city.
Yeah.
I think it's in like 100 cities now, Real Housewives.
Yeah, Real Housewives of whatever, where you just have women on there acting as ratchet as possible.
Oh, I love that word.
You know?
Ratchet.
They are. They're acting as ratchet.
In parentheses, wretched. But ratchet is it.
But, you know, and the thing is, it gets, I mean, and people love to watch it, and people love to talk about it. And like, people talk to me about it. Like, you know, whoever Kardashian, whichever one, I'm like, you know, I don't personally know any of them. I've never met a Kardashian in my life.
And don't care to.
Exactly. I don't care to. So why am I going to watch this? So no, I stay away from that. And I think others should too.
I'm not on trial for murder, but if I was and he was still practicing, maybe, you know, but other than that, no, I agree with that. And I think that there comes a time when we have to end that regurgitation cycle. I mean, it's like handing the bad milk off to one person, then handing it off to another person. And then the cycle, it's like you got to end the cycle. Somebody's got to be like Bill, go to the sink, wash out the milk, wash out the carton, recycle it and be done with it. But it sucks when it's always you stopping the buck. So let's talk later. When we come back from break, we're going to talk more about how to kind of get away from this bad milk, how to protect yourself, and how to move on and live your true life. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
I'm learning to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim up bar. Glass of perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just tuning in, we've been discussing the sharing of negative stories, the sharing of bad stories, and how it's really similar to the concept of sharing bad milk. You know, we've all had these stories that people tell us about things that they've heard, stuff they've seen on the news, comments that they read on Facebook or some sort of other social media network, and they want to tell you. It's like when you were a kid or when you first woke up in the morning and somebody looks at you and goes, smell this milk, is it bad? Taste it. Do you think it's bad? And you taste it and it's rotten. It's rotten milk. So we have to stop. We have to stop the cycle. And I think right before we were talking about, it's about regurgitating to someone else. Like somebody hears it and then they have to throw it out to someone else. And we have to end this cycle. I mean, and the only thing that bothers me is sometimes it's like, you seem to be like the buck stops here. I mean, for me, I am a lot of times. And so recently I've developed a new tactic. When somebody comes to me and I can tell, because you can kind of feel how they are. Yeah. And it's not always, it can be anybody, but you can kind of feel, because people get this thing together when they're about to say something, and it's not about them. It's not like something bad's happening to their life, because if you're a friend, you're going to help them out. This is about something third party. Okay, so literally, when they're about to say something, I'll look at them and I'll be like, you know, if this is some sort of negative story, which I have a funny feeling it is, I don't want to hear it. And normally they'll kind of back up, but then they'll look back at you and you'll be like, no, seriously, I was serious when I said that. And they'll be like, oh. And they think it's rude, but it's really not rude that I can say that I want to protect my subconscious.
I don't think it's rude at all.
I want to protect myself.
I think it's, you got to, you know, put that shield in front of you sometimes. I've told you this before. I used to work with somebody in my previous life as an insurance agent who was so negative that she just sucked the life right out of the room. It's like she had an excuse for the reason why she had excuses.
Oh, yeah.
And she had a negative story to tell, but it was always about her. You know, something was being done to her. Someone was doing something to her. Nobody loved her. Everybody was out to get her. You know, we were just out to fire her, you know, that type of thing. And it just got to the point where I like went to my boss and said, please, can you trade somebody else? At the end of my line, I can't stand it.
Can I work from home?
Yeah.
Well, there are like people, and I've met people like this that can only function in a crisis situation. And the woman that gave birth to me is one of those people who can only function in a crisis situation. Something's happening to me, and you know, I can go up to her and go, oh, mom, hey, this, that, and the third happened to me. Isn't that great? She's like, yeah, that's good, but...
Yeah, see, and actually, that's a good segue there, Keenan, because these kind of people, haven't you noticed, Ashley, it's kind of like the character Topper from Dilbert. Their life is always worse than yours, and they have to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you know,
it's always
I can top that because it's about me. And, you know, if you think it your life is bad, wait till you hear what happened to me.
There are a lot of people out there like that. And we're not saying that they're, you know, if you have a problem and it's, you know, and it happens. I mean, people do go through, you know, hard times. But this is like the specific person that's who they thrive on. That's what they live off of, is telling these negative stories, telling this stuff. And so I think you have to protect your subconscious and conscious. And a lot of times I protect myself when it comes to, I know that this person's going to come up to me and tell me about how 15 people were murdered and how they were murdered and how they saw this on TV and how they stayed on the couch all day long and had to call into work and had to be sick, but they weren't sick, but they couldn't leave the house because they were so scared. And it's like these things, or I saw this on Facebook, this animal was abused. And it's like, you know, I'm trying to live my life and I do everything right by the animal kingdom and by the human kingdom. And I don't need to hear that because I have empathy. And that stuff kind of just gets in my head and it kind of messes up my day. I mean, it can cause you to have a real negative day because you can feel like your hands are tied. Those 15 people that you couldn't save that were murdered, that animal, like, I mean, you're thinking, oh my gosh, all this bad stuff going on. But it's really just these people regurgitating this negative stuff up because they're getting something off of it. And I think you have to sit there and say, hey, wait, stop. I'm going to protect my conscious and subconscious, and I'm going to protect my day and not let you pollute all in it.
Because at the end of the day, you've got to protect your own sanity.
That's true.
I'm stupid enough to actually sit there and listen.
You are stupid. Actually, here's what Kenan does. I said this on a previous show. Here's what he'll do. Somebody will be saying, you know, oh, you know, drama. Here's what she said and he said. And, you know, this is what they did. And at some point, Kenan will just kind of turn to his phone and go to his Facebook and just, you know, and just, you know, while this person's just spouting off, he's just sitting there.
The problem,
you know,
is though, it's still going into his subconscious. So.
Yeah, it is still going there. But you know, here's the thing. No matter how bad that someone tells me, you know, this is happening or that is happening or whatever, I can always respond back by saying, hey, try fighting a war, and then they'll just shut up.
Well, yeah, I mean, come on. All you have to do is yell out PTSD extreme and be like, okay, by the way, have you gone through this?
Yeah,
exactly. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know? Yeah.
Postal.
I mean, you could just probably say VA hospital, and that would be enough for most people.
Yeah, really.
No, seriously, it's like, why do you have to pollute my area? I'm not over here telling you about stuff that happened to me in the war.
Right.
I'm not over here telling you about when we got ambushed or when somebody got shot that was a good friend of mine and I was holding him, you know, before he died.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. And it's like, you're not gaining off that. And I think people start gaining off the negative because they feel they are, but that's just a short-term game for them. In the end, their whole life is kind of falling down.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think misery loves company. Let me, I just had a thought. Let me play devil's advocate for just a second, okay?
Okay, let's do that.
For the person who just has to share negative news, okay, saw this on the TV, you know, whatever, that's a catharsis for this person. It, you know, whatever they're hearing and they want to share, it affected them so badly that in order to, you know, get over the negativity themselves, they have to release it.
Well, okay, the thing is that the sad thing about this is that it normally doesn't just happen one time. You know, whatever means of news or way that they're listening and viewing this, they need to stop. And just because they're intaking this this negativity doesn't mean you have to be exposed to it. Just because somebody chooses to watch it doesn't mean I have to reap the non-benefits. And I think I understand exactly what you're saying, but if it happened one time, that's one thing. But normally, it's a repeat offender because they don't stop. And so just because they make bad judgment calls on what they're internalizing and what they're viewing doesn't mean I have to freaking get to reap that stuff.
Well, and also remember too, Ashley, I mean, not everyone listening tonight is as empathetic as you are. You are really empathetic.
That's true.
I mean, you are. I mean, it's like, you know, Kenan, I will piss her off the most when, you know, she'll say or do something. And of course, I'm passive aggressive, right? So if I get mad at her, you know, she knows I'm mad at her, but I won't say anything. You know, she'll try to, you know, and I'm slow to burn and slow to heal. And so it takes a lot to get me upset. But when I do, I hold on to it for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll just kind of sit here, you know, Yeah, okay, Ashley.
Mm-hmm. You'd be like,
And she can feel it, and she's trying to draw it out of me, and I won't let it go. And, oh, that makes her mad.
Oh, yeah, and he'll hold on to it like it's a blanket. Like it's like a blanket in like, 30-degree weather.
Yeah.
And he's out there, like, in the Antarctic or something, holding on to this blanket, and it's like the anger blanket. And I'm over there like, I'm going to pull it out of him. I'm going to pull it out of him, you know? And you're and, right. And
we're like tug of war on this thing, you know?
Like, give me that anger.
Yeah. And, oh, that makes her mad at me when I get mad at her, and I won't. Yeah.
Oh, it does. I'm very empathetic, and I think a lot of women are, but I think a lot of men are, and I think more so than we know. I think that a lot of men see empathy as maybe a girly thing, but I think that a lot of us house these feelings that we don't know what to do with. And I mean, like, when we stop the buck, like, I had a story that was told to me the other day, and it was from a family member, you know, and it's hard to tell your family members, hey, stop. Okay, I know where this is going, but now I've learned how to do it. Okay, yeah. I learned how to do it. But they told me something, and it was about kids and drug use, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to share that with people, because you know what? You're going to feel like your hands are tied, and you can't do anything to change it. And I was like, oh my gosh, and I caught myself turning around and regurgitating it to somebody because I didn't have enough, I'm not going to say the word, balls. I didn't have enough,
Gumption
to say, hey, no, okay, I know you're a family member, but I'm not going to hear that. And instead, I went and regurgitated it to someone else who unfortunately has kids that freaked out. And it was a male who freaked out about that story. And he was like, oh my God, my kids are about that same age. And then I felt awful. Like, I felt bad because I realized I just perpetuated the cycle, and it all started because I didn't have enough power to say, no, I don't want to hear that.
Well, you also did it without thinking about it, too. I mean,
About it. I premeditated.
Oh, did
thought
you?
About
okay.
it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I premeditated because a lot of times we all premeditate to a degree because subconsciously you're thinking, should I say something? And it just comes out because you're like, I'll say something. And so now I actually premeditate not to say it, keep it in, and just try to get rid of it. So when we come back, we're going to be talking more about how to protect your subconscious and conscious mind, how to keep from the pollution, and how to not drink the Kool-Aid. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 570 KLIF.
The galaxy is here!
What do you mean here?
Galaxies, hundreds of millions of stars and planets. How's it here?
You humans, when are you going to learn that size doesn't matter? Just because something's important doesn't mean it's not very, very small.
How small?
Tiny, like the size of a marble or a jewel. Now, if you'll excuse me, I got to be warped before my flight.
All right, get out of here.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just tuning in, I hope you're not, but if you are just tuning in, we've been talking about the sharing of negative stories, about how sharing negative stories really is like sharing the bad milk. You know, it's funny how bad milk is. Everybody wants you to smell it or taste it to confirm if it's bad. And it's like, after a while, you have to sit there and say, you gotta taste it for yourself. You know what? Because if it tastes bad to you, it's probably gonna be bad to me. So this has to do with the fact of the regurgitation of all the negativity. And a lot of times, these bad stories erupt from the news, from the newspaper, from social media outlets, from peer-to-peer, person-to-person telling a story about someone you don't even know.
Water cooler talk, yeah.
Yeah, some murders that took place, unfortunately, on the border of Mexico and Texas. This and that, these children and what happened here, these kidnapped kids, all these things, it has nothing to do with the person that tells you about it. But you sit there and you internalize this, and guess what? Especially if it gives you, like, right before in the morning when you're heading to work, you hear it. You get to do that all day long and all night. If it's right before bed, oh, that's a great one. That's always good because you get to think about that poor child or those poor people that died. And so you have to really learn how to stop the cycle and protect your subconscious. And I think the biggest thing that we've been talking about is just to say, hey, when you see somebody about to go into that negative feedback, stop. You know, you got to stop.
King's X. You know, right. Put up like be the construction guy. Put up the big sign. Stop.
And not slow down. Stop. You know.
Well, you know, Ashley, I'm gonna ask our listeners, if you don't do this already, and if you don't, shame on you. But if you don't already go to iTunes or AshleyBurgess.com to listen to our previous podcast, there was a previous podcast where we were talking on another subject about our base instincts. You know, people are born knowing how to nonverbal communicate. Okay. And so you know, to all of our listeners, make sure you go to iTunes and, you know, AshleyBurgess.com, where you can listen to all of Ashley's previous podcasts.
That's good.
But, you know, that's just what popped in my mind, though. See, if you, and like I said, not everyone is as empathetic as you are, but still, if someone, you know, repeats a negative story, and, you know, you non-verbally, you know, you kind of take all that in, you know, then of course it's going to put you in that frame of mind. It just makes sense.
Well, yeah, it's like anything. If you watch the news 24/7, you sit there, and Keenan, if we make you sit there on a couch, and I've done this experiment, and it was in my first book, and then I did a secondary experiment that was in my third book, and it was all about how I literally sat in front of the TV, and I watched CNN or whatever channel nonstop, except for go to the bathroom. I wasn't wearing Depends, except for go to the bathroom or wash my hands. I felt like there was nothing I could accomplish. I felt like literally, you know, I'm this small, I'm tiny, nothing I do is going to ever matter. Mm-hmm. And when you hear some of this negative stuff, not only, it doesn't make you feel maybe necessarily that way, but it does make you just feel like, ill. Like, you know, you feel like your hands are tied, you know?
My grandmother did that when I was deployed. She watched CNN nonstop 24/7.
Just to see if she would see your name or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I remember I called home and she said, well, I saw CNN. And I say, Grandma, stop watching CNN. Well, I just want to know what, you know, what's going on over there. And, you know, just in case something happened to you. And I told her, I said, well, here's the thing. If something happens to me, you're going to know before CNN knows. Because by the time CNN gets the information, trust me, that information is actually old.
Yes.
It's very old compared to the rate of speed that we know it. But the thing is, I have been guilty myself of just, well, just, you know, sitting on a couch watching the news all day, especially when I was unemployed. But the thing is,
that can be so depressing.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, Ashley, I will also confess, you know, I've, you know, seen something in the news. Oh my gosh, did you hear about that? So go ahead, Keenan.
But the thing is, though, I mean, like, I'm kind of a news junkie anyway. I mean,
yeah,
like, in college, I did a lot of news. In college, that's what I did. You know, television news, radio news, whatever. I did a lot of news in college. So the thing is like, I guess from doing that, I know how to filter certain things out in a way because
But as a defense mechanism, though, don't you think? I mean, you've learned how to compartmentalize.
Compartmentalize doesn't mean anything.
Well, the thing is, though, it's like, you know, like say you and I, we're more media literate.
Yeah.
Than say the average Joe Blow walking the streets.
Very true.
Well, let's talk about this love for media real quick. Okay, first of all, compartmentalize, you can't do it. That's a male word. I think that people used to use that back when, especially men that were like cheating on their wives. I can compartmentalize her. I can deal with this. But you know what? It's not compartmentalized. Okay, so let's talk about the news and your ingestion to this negative stuff from a fact like cheating. So like in a relationship, when a man, woman, when one of the spouses is cheating, I hate to say it, that's not a good thing, but if you go and you tell the spouse what all you've done and make them feel even worse, to me, that's kind of like when you watch all this news, you've decided your intake. You've decided what you want to see. Now, why do you have to spew it everywhere? To me, it's like the person that goes and does something wrong and then goes and tells the person they did wrong, which makes that person feel really bad and it makes them feel really low. When that person that did the wrong thing could have just cleaned up their life and said, okay, I've made my amends. I'll have to take this to the grave. Okay, that's it. Because I don't want this person to feel bad about something that I did. And I think that's what this is about. If you want to watch a million hours of the news and you want to watch the Saddam Hussein video of them doing, you know, taking him down, mm-hmm. and you want to watch that every day and twice on Sunday, and you think that you can have good mental clarity and you're not going to go postal one day, that's cool. That's great. Or you're not going to lose it, get depressed, and kill yourself, that's cool too. But I think it's about what we ingest and what we give to others, because I think you can be media literate, but it's like you have to kind of realize if that other person wants to know about it, they might bring it up to me.
You know, I think that Keenan hit the right point about that on our last segment. We have an innate need for drama. It's the reason why there's always traffic buildup for a car accident.
See, I'm not, you know, like that. I do not have that want or desire.
Because here's the thing. Because if you did it, you would like break down. You're like, oh my God, I hope somebody's hurt. Therefore, you just kind of put it out of sight of mind. But like I said, not everybody's as empathetic as you are. So the most people will you know, like, oh my God, that's so horrible. I need to see more, you know, and then they slow down, you know, and
they slow down, they get their fix. And then once they got their fix, they're just going to keep on trucking and not even think about it. That's some people. I know like with me, you know, I'll just kind of blow up like, hey, whatever, you know, and then get into an argument or whatever. And then when it's done, I don't think about it anymore. I don't think about it.
You have that ability.
I'm the same way, actually. Like I said, not everybody's as empathetic as you are, but that doesn't mean that, you know, what you're saying, I mean, you know, it kind of puts you in maybe not the best frame of mind to start the day or to go to bed or whatever.
Well, I think the thing is that there's some people that, things can roll off their back. But I think also sometimes when we think that things are rolling off our back, they're actually just getting deeper into our subconscious. And then later on, we will deal with them. Mm. I mean, because I think that's a lot of what's happening is that, you know, it gets stuck in there. And then later on down the road, because we all have to deal with everything. OK, nobody gets the day off. Nobody has to deal with it. Even if you die young, you got to deal with everything. So I think it comes a time when you go, OK, how much Kool-Aid am I going to drink? What kind of Kool-Aid am I going to drink? Or am I going to say no to the Kool-Aid and say, okay, I'm going to live my life. I want my life to be positive. Because I understand, I know people that are unemployed and they sit on the couch and they watch the news and it brings them down even more because they hear about not depression, only the economy so low, then they hear about the people dying next door. Then they hear about the kids and the big bus crash and they all died. And then you hear about this big shooting at the school. And then it's all of a sudden you're just like, oh my God. And then your mom probably works at a school. So you call up your mom, you okay? And it just keeps going down and down and down, and you feel like you really have no power.
You know, here's a wacky analogy, but maybe it's like soap scum in the bathtub. You know, it starts off, you know, it's not much, you know, but then if you don't clean your bathtub,
yeah, you
know, it's going to build up and build up and build up.
Okay,
not that I personally would know what that's like.
No, not you, not a guy, not a guy, not a non-married guy.
I was going to say not a bachelor guy. I wouldn't know anything about that. But
not you.
I've heard that that's kind of what happens.
Well, it's kind of like not cleaning out the toilet bowl, right? I mean, you know,
I would know what that's like either.
It is what it is. Yeah. You know, if you're not taking that Tide, whatever that is, that cleaner in there, the blue little cleaner that grabs to the sides and cleans out the bowl. I mean, there's a problem. And I think that's what it's about is that if you intake all this negativity all the time, or you allow other people to share it with you, even if you're not viewing it, if you allow, you're drinking the Kool-Aid. And I think you have to be positive for your own sake. I mean, and I think we should talk about that when we come back from break is, you know, how do we stay positive and how do we spread the positivity instead of spreading the negativity? Because negativity, like everybody knows, when somebody says something bad about somebody, everybody's like, oh, they're all interested. Their ears perk up. But it takes like four good things about somebody to add up to one bad thing. And that bad thing goes like wildfire. You know, it hits wildfire. So let's talk about that when we return. And guess what? Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, you know what? We're going to be back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess, and we've been having a great show for you tonight, and if you're just tuning in, which I hope you're not, you know, we've been talking about sharing negative bad stories, about the sharing of the negative is very similar to the sharing of the bad milk. I think we've all had somebody come up to us, whether it be morning or evening, and say, hey, can you smell this? Does this milk smell bad? Will you taste it? Does this taste bad? You know, that's not cool. And I've been on the other receiving end of that where I've tasted the milk and it's bad.
Amen.
It's real bad. Like, it's wrong. And you know what? That's bad. And so we were talking about earlier, washing out that carton, recycling it, just the same as not regurgitating what somebody else has said. And I think the biggest deal is that when you hear this negative, and it normally comes from people's mouth when they watch the news, They got overwhelmed by it, or they saw a story, or they saw something in the newspaper or on social media, and they're like, oh, they're just overwhelmed with it, and they regurgitate it to you, which not cool, because if you intake it, then that also actually goes against your subconscious, and it causes you to have stress. And so I think you have to protect your subconscious, and you have to end the cycle and not allow others to pollute your brain, because when people go off on this stuff, I'm empathetic, but even if you're not really, or you don't consider yourself empathetic, it's still going to play a role in your life somehow subconsciously. So let's talk about how do we be positive? You know, how do we spread the love and end the cycle of fear? I mean, how would you?
Well, maybe beating them to the punch, so to speak.
Like how I was saying, like, I don't really want to hear anything negative.
No. Actually, before that, you know.
By initiating the conversation.
Yeah, initiating the conversation with something positive.
Yeah, exactly.
Find something positive on, you know, like CNN or Fox News or the Dallas Morning News. Or
find something positive in your own life, not about other people, maybe. And find something positive about what's going on in the world and say, hey, I think it's really interesting. Mm-hmm. That, you know, this charity is doing this, or I really think, or my life is great, I'm working on this, what are you working on?
Yeah,
what do you got going on? You know, how are your kids doing? How's the family?
So take the initiative, maybe, and, you know.
But, you know, they might turn around on you and try to say, and I think maybe at that time, you go, hey, I'm not really interested. I'm not interested in hearing any negativity. I was being positive, right? Yeah. I mean, because you're still going to have people that are going to turn that around and be like, well, my kids are doing okay in soccer. Did you hear about those 7 kids that died? Let me tell you about how they died. You know what I mean? And they don't just tell you a little blanket. They tell you exact description.
Chapter and verse.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're going to paint a picture with words.
Oh, and it's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, words are worse. I mean, at least a picture, you kind of, there's a limit to it, right? But with our minds, oh, don't you think it gets bad, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because I go back to Kenan's point. I mean, I think we are genetically programmed to desire drama. And so when we're hearing this, then our at least for me anyway, because I'm a very visual person, I will paint a mental picture while someone is just telling me a story.
But Bill, you made a good point earlier about, you know, starting off the conversation a certain way. I like that. And yeah, I think a lot of people can employ that. Start it off a certain way, but when they go and digress, and you can feel it, like you said earlier as well, about feelings, we all can feel emotions.
This? Just make it a fencing match, okay? You know, you started it, they parried with a, you know, negative story. Now you block it, and, you know, it's like
a jousting.
Yeah, it's like a lightsaber duel.
Yeah, lightsaber duel.
You know, you have the light side Jedi versus the dark side Sith.
Yeah, the Sith Lord. Yeah, yeah.
Jedi.
You gotta parry the blow and come back with one.
Smart, Keenan is smart.
Yeah, you gotta be like Obi Wan Kenobi or somebody. Yeah, you know, or like even
use the Force.
Or better yet, what's the guy?
Yoda.
Yoda. Yeah. I don't know why his name slipped.
Not smart.
not using the forces. No,
I was about to call him the little old green guy. That's what I was about to call him.
The little old green guy.
Wow.
Oh my goodness, that poor green guy.
Did you
hear what happened
nerdy.
To that green guy the other day?
but the green guy knew how to use a lightsaber.
You are so not a nerd.
I was about to go into a negative story. No, so let's talk about this. So we want to spread the love and the fear. And I think a lot of times, what is it? Like, you brought up the facts about the reality shows, Keenan. And I think a lot of ways to spread the love is to back away from the fake, back away from the things that aren't going to benefit your life one way or another, and start living your life. I think that's a good thing. And when we have problems in life, everybody has problems. And if your friends will accept that and try to help you. But when you're talking about third-party stuff that nobody can do anything about because we're not a militia, you know, if we were a militia sitting here at the studio, I mean, would that be kind of interesting? If we had a bunch of guns and a whole arsenal and like,
survivalists.
You know, and night vision goggles, and we're all in here and he didn't have too much PTSD, so he could still go on the runs. And then we were always going out there in our militia, and we were just taking people down. We were like, you know, what do you call it? Neighborhood watch,
hey,
right?
I've got an idea for a new radio show, Survival with Ashley Burgess.
Ooh, we drop them off from a helicopter, and they come down. You know, I mean, let's see if they survive. No, I mean, but that's what I'm talking about. If you're not a militia, you're not part of the military, you really, when people do tell you stories that are really bad, you can't do anything about it. It sucks.
Yeah.
No. There's nothing you can do about it except.
You should be a militia.
No, not really. Militia. No, no. You know what? I honestly, I laugh at people in militias. I honestly, I laugh at them. I really do.
Y'all are mean. You laugh at other people.
Yes. I'm like, oh, you're in a militia. That's great. With your half training, you know.
I will confess, I laugh at stupid people.
You know.
Man, y'all. I mean,
because the way I look, I'm like, dude, you're never going to be as well trained, as well equipped, or have as much intel as the United States military.
Well,
it's just never going
to
happen.
For one thing, if your belly is so big you can't lay down in exactly. Pro position to fire, you know, I mean, that should be kind of a giveaway.
Who are you? You talk about somebody specific, aren't you?
No.
No, I'm
not.
Oh, okay.
In this particular case.
But when it comes to countering all these negative stories that that people tell you about, I mean, sometimes I don't know, because the thing about television is this, right? We can always change the channel. We can always, you know, turn it off, or even with
you can always log out of Facebook.
Well, yeah, exactly. You can always log out of Facebook.
I know what you're about to say.
But the thing is, though, while you're logged on to, say, Facebook, what's being viewed to you?
What's being offered
yeah,
to you?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm
like, recently a story came out to where, guess what? The user's not in control.
Yeah, I know. They weren't in control. They're actually giving them negative or positive stories. And so when you logged on, all you would see was all negative. Or if you logged on, all you'd see was all positive. I'm wondering if there's any suicides throughout that process, too. I'd like to be able to map out how many, because some people aren't very stable.
No, they're not.
I mean, look at the average population and look how many people are on Facebook. Look how many percentage of people have these types of mental, you know, diseases, honestly, and they need help, they need treatment. But think about if you log on every day and all you heard was about suicide, death, and dying,
mm-hmm.
and you already had, you know, a kind of a negative disposition, or you were already teetering, you right. know, that's awful. I mean, yeah. to play yeah. with people like
I
that.
Mean, just, you know, one after another, after another, after another. I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't consider myself particularly empathetic or, you know,
yeah, but it gets
whatever.
To
but yeah, I mean, to me, if it's like one after, if it, like you know, Kenyon, yeah. at some point, I mean, there are news days, and I'm a news junkie too.
Right.
There are days when it's just like enough. I'll turn it off.
I mean, especially when it's the same story over and over again, and they're just running it into the ground. You know, like for example, the flight that just disappeared. And CNN was just all over it for I don't know how many days.
You and I probably took the same class at UNT where, you know, the 24/7, you know, news cycle, and they've got to fill that news time.
Yeah, I mean, you have to fill the time.
And CNN especially is guilty of this, I think, you know, that they will just report a story into the ground, or it's mm-hmm. it's like enough already, you know?
Yep.
I mean, it's not a breaking news story at some point.
No, it's, it really isn't. And, you know, like I said, I mean, you could always, you know, change the channel, but then you change the channel, what's on that channel? Okay. And you're like, okay.
Or they don't even have important. It's a ticker, you know, across the bottom.
Yeah.
But
what's there? And then you start watching this whole reality TV show or whatever. But I'm like this, watch a drama, because dramas always do have happy endings once that are written.
The ones that are written are, some of them are. Some of them have a good ending. But let's talk. Okay, so let's wrap this up. Well, I think one sidebar, though, is that if you actually looked at your sleep rhythms and kind of those types of things, even though you claim that you're not empathetic, I think you might actually see sleep problems and things after you've taken and ingested too much negativity. If we actually, like, hooked you up with, like, machines and medical devices, we could actually see a difference in your metabolic state and such like that you don't even know exists. And I think that's kind of an interesting thing. We'll have to do a show up on that as well. We're going to do some testing.
Sounds interesting.
But from now on out, everybody listening tonight, I hope that this has helped you. I hope that this has helped you to realize that you don't have to pick up that carton of milk, you don't have to smell it, and you darn sure don't have to taste it. Because it's about you, and you can say no, and you can say stop. Because you know what? Nobody has to be in your mind. Nobody has to wake up as you, and nobody has to think as you. So stay tuned. Next week, we got a great show. Stay powerful, stay yourself, and Perspectives with your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll all be back in three shakes.